This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending his greeting and salutation upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing a journey of ahadith about moral characteristics or values which at times have become very rare in the wider society and to some degree become rare amongst us Muslims as well. The previous few ahadith spoke about charity, about whether it be physical charity of spending one's wealth or whether it be charity of aiding and helping another individual. Various formats of charity, various formats of doing good deeds. All these collective good deeds are there to collect us all together, which is possibly one of the most ultimate aspects of charity that a person can do, is to collect and to unite people together, to make people to cooperate, or cooperation amongst one another. And that will be the theme of today's hadith, based upon these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as Hadith al-Safina, the hadith of the ship. As a side point, certain ahadith become famous and known with the title, whether it be hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, becomes the theme, becomes a discussion, that people begin to know certain ahadith, and thus hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam is the most profound hadith about one's faith, one's belief. Thus it becomes incumbent upon every single Muslim to study the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. فَمَا هُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ, what is the belief of the Muslim? وَمَا هُوَ الْإِيمَانِ, what is iman, the deeper conviction of the articles of faith? And then to top it all up, وَمَا الْإِحْسَانِ, what is perfection of the life of the believer, perfection in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ السَّائِلِ, do you know who the questioner was that came to ask you this question? The sa'il was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came in disguise as a human being. لَا تَرَى عَلَيْهِ أَثَرُ السَّفَرِ, no signs of travelling were visible upon this individual. No one recognized this individual. White garment, white clothing. Because a person who's strange, who would come to a gathering of the Prophet alayhi salam, someone's unknown, you'd see the signs of travelling upon that individual, being in a dishevelled state. But this person was a strange individual who came. فَجَلَسَ قَرِيبْ عِنْدَهُ فَوَضَ يَدَيْهِ عَلَىٰ رُقْبَتَيْهِ أَوْلَىٰ ثَخِذَيْهِ, and came so close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, placed his hands on the thighs of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and then asked him this question, what is al-Islam? He said that al-Islam is what our pillars of faith are, then iman, then al-ihsan. إِنَّهُ جِبْرَئِلْ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, indeed that was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you your faith. So it becomes incumbent upon all of us Muslims to know what our faith is. أول سؤال في القبر ما هو, first question inside the grave will be what for all of us? مَنْ رَبُّ, who's your Lord? So how can a person find it as something trivial? Who is your Lord? Only the person who understands bima'na understand, yet understands the nusus of the Quran and the Sunnah, understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, responds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. فَعْلَمْ, have knowledge, have impact, have understanding. None has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ عَلَى بَصِيرًا, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon knowledge, upon foresightedness, upon understanding. هَذِي هَذَا رَأْسُ الْعِبَادَةِ, that's the essence of ibadah, that's the essence of being a slave. You know, even as a side point, a slave in today's terminology, it sounds derogatory. وَأَمَّا فِي الشَّرِيعَةِ, being the ultimate slave is عُبُودِيَّ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you become a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
أنت الحر. You are free. You are liberated. Externally, people may think that what is this faith, this conviction, what are these actions, these rituals that people are doing? They're depriving themselves. No. في الداخل, within yourself, you're a free individual. You're a free soul. You're a free personality. لأنك تعبد الله. And that's this hadith of Hadith al-Safina teaches us about working together to free ourselves, to aid and to help one another. It's not what the Western world teaches us, that let people be free, let people choose their life, let everybody do whatever they want to do. فَمَنْ شَأَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ وَمَنْ شَأَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whoever wants to believe, let them believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, let them disbelieve. This ayah doesn't carry that meaning. هذا نوع من توبيخ. A lack of understanding the Arabic language and linguistics of the Quran doesn't mean that Allah says, whoever wants to believe, let them believe, whoever wants to disbelieve, let them disbelieve. It doesn't mean freedom. No, I mean, at-tawbiq is warning them. Warning people, zajr, warning them that if you decide to go and disbelieve, فَإِقَابُ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah allows kufr to take place upon this earth. That doesn't mean that Allah is pleased with it, that Allah accepts kufr. هذه حكمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. يترك الكفار أحيانا. Leaves the disbelieving individuals, leaves kufr for a certain moment of time, leaves it upon this dunya. أما في الآخرة لا يترك أي أحد. Inside the آخرة, Allah doesn't leave anyone amongst the disbelieving individuals. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون. Don't ever perceive or think that Allah is unaware, is heedless of what a ظالمون do, what oppressive people do, what disbelieving people do, what treacherous people do, what criminals do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them alone, gives them respite for a small amount of time inside this dunya. And even inside this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of their life or whenever their life is destined, will seek retribution from them, take retribution from them. And if they do escape this dunya, there's no escape inside al-akhirah. Because hatta min ma'ani maliki yawm al-deen, the day of deen is here speaking about al-jaza wal-hisab wal-iqab, of accountability. That's how the Quran begins. That he's the master, the owner of the day of judgment, of accountability, of retribution. And thus we find inside this hadith, that we find that whereby some of us, we think that it's Western concept, leaving people alone to do whatever they want to do. Even unfortunately among some of us Muslims, that we become taken aback. That why should we command the good and forbid the evil? Why should we engage inside society? Let everybody find their own path to Allah. Why should we command over them? Why should we dictate to people? And here is the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مثل المدهن في حدود الله والواقع فيه فيها مثل قوم قوم استهموا على السفينة أو في السفينة. The parable of the people who abide by the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who dismantle and those who break them are like a group of people who threw lots, threw arrows, threw numbers, threw names to decide who would board the ship. فَصَارَ بَعْدُهُمْ فِي أَسْفَلِهَا وَصَارَ بَعْدُهُمْ فِي أَعْلَاهَا. So when they threw lots, some of them were placed in the upper cabinets or the upper portion, and some in the lower deck. Each individual were divided separately inside the ship. فَكَانَ الَّذِي فِي أَسْفَلِهَا يَمُرُّونَ بِالْمَاءِ عَلَى الَّذِينَ أَعْلَاهَا. And the people who were in the lower deck, whenever they wanted water, because the lower deck is a compartment that is closed. So when they wanted water, they had to travel to the upper deck. And they had to seek permission from the upper deck, or throw their buckets and then gain the water and then travel back down. So they began to harm, فَتَأَذَّوْ بِهِ. So they felt we're harming these individuals, we're disturbing these individuals. فَأَخَذَ فَأْسًا فَجَعَلَ النَّقَرَ يَنْقُرُ أَسْفَلَ السَّفِينَةِ. One of them, he took an axe, took a pickaxe, and began to make a hole in the bottom of the ship. So the people in upper deck, they saw what this individual, heard what this individual is doing. فَقَالُوا مَا لَكَ? What is the matter with you? قَالَ تَأَذَيْتُمْ بِي وَلَا بُدَّ لِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. I've harmed you, troubled you, and I need to get water. So I no longer want to trouble you. I'm going to take the water from this, from the planks of wood underneath us. فَإِنْ أَخَذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَنْجَوْهُ. If they begin to rebuke him, to begin to stop him, take him by his hand, they will rescue him. وَنَجَّوْا أَنْفُسَهُمْ. And they will make their own selves to be successful. وَإِنْ تَرَقَوْهُ أَهْلَكُوهُ وَأَهْلَكُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ. If they leave him alone, they will drown, he will drown, they will drown, they will all drown. Al-Hadith fi Sahih al-Bukhari. Just leave them, leave this individual alone, leave this individual to his own doings. Let him do whatever he wants to do. Turn a blind eye, he will drown and all of us will begin to drown. أولاً في هذا الحديث. We find that the Prophet والسلام, was a master in the language, was a master in etiquettes, في أسلوب, how to speak to people. وكان يضرب الأمثال مرات. He would throw many parables, many examples to help his people to understand. To understand the importance of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. He places his parable of a ship to help them to understand. This shows that a person lives inside inside a community. He has to understand the psyche of the people. The understanding of the people. That's why a person shouldn't find it offensive. Many times when you ask ulama questions, they will ask the people, or ask the ulama fi biladikum. Ask the people in your own land to understand the affair. Some people, they find that offensive. They say that you're maybe trying to miscalculate ulama, their judgments or their understanding. For us, it shows a lack of ilm. Because if you read through works of fuqaha, tara al-ajaib, you find some strange things. هنا علماء عند المالكية في الأندلس علماء of the Maliki fiqh inside Al-Andalus, which is current day Spain, they gave a fatwa that the ulama or the umara haram for them to perform hajj. كيف علماء الأحناف in the دولة عثمانية أفتوا كذلك. علماء الأحناف also gave the same verdict. It's not allowed for the umara, the rulers, to go and perform hajj. One of them say, كيف غير معقول, how is that possible? How can ulama give a verdict like that to prevent people from, or preventing leaders to perform hajj? وَلِلَّيْ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Hajj is farida. Hajj is an obligation. You have to respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows a lack of knowledge, a lack of perception, lack of understanding. You have to read deep into works, deep to understand why ulama al-Malikiyya gave that verdict. Because if the umara of Al-Andalus, they departed, read through what happened in history. People of government ruling will not remain there. You find that the crusaders will begin to dismantle the country, dismantle the environment. That's the ulama that moment gave for that time and place. That's why al-fatwa laysa li kulli zaman wa makan. And a religious verdict is not for every place and every time. You can't pluck a ruling from a certain location, apply it to another location. It's not always plausible. It's not always plausible. Take it from one environment to place it on another environment and say, this is what concerns these people as well. Every place differs. It doesn't mean that we're changing the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's speaking about understanding. وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ. For every people, there's a warner. As Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, for every nation, every people, a warner comes. Well, Ar-Ra'asin, warning the individuals, is none other than Al-Anbiya wa Rusul, the prophets and the messengers. And likewise, we never sent any before you, any messenger before you, illa bilisani qawmihim liyubayyina lahum. In the beginning of Surah Ibrahim, the 14th chapter of Quran. We never sent amongst any of the people, the nation, except for a messenger to speak their language, to engage with them. So that's the Prophet ﷺ, he spoke the language of his people. He understood the psyche of his people. He's able to give them parables, examples, help them to understand what concerns them. And likewise, this hadith, it just solidifies principles of the Sharia. In the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, we find, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Seek to cooperate one another in the ordering of good, in good actions, in taqwa, piety, righteousness, and do not come together upon any form of oppression, injustice, or in conduct of bad behavior. Encourage one another. And we're going to stop on Surah Al-Ma'idah, because there are many ayat inside Surah Al-Ma'idah which are all revolving around commandments, injunctions towards Bani Israel, or towards Ahlul Kitab, towards people of the book, Al-Nasara wal-Yahud. And even before that, and a commandment to this Muslim Ummah. Just study Surah Al-Asr. Study this surah, these few verses, which will be classified by ulama, the Fasir, is the surah of salvation. Imam Shafi'i said that if only this surah was sent down, it would suffice this Muslim Ummah. If only Surah Al-Asr was sent down, it would suffice this Muslim Ummah, if we understand it. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. By time. That time, whether it be the time, the movements of the day and night, or whether it be the physical time of Salatul Asr, is to use in the ulama of tafsir. Inna al-insana lafi khusrin. Allah doesn't say man is in loss. Ta'qeed ba'da ta'qeed. Emphasis after emphasis after emphasis after emphasis. Arba ta'qeedat. Li'ayyi gharad. Why does Allah make approximately four emphasis? For what reason? Why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say man is in loss? But Allah mentions indeed the human being will be in a state of loss. Mu'zamun nas, mu'zamul bashar, most of mankind, most of human beings are going to be in a state of loss. Illa al-istithna, except for a few. Because illa, on average inside the Quran, illa ibadika min humul mukhrasin. When the Quran speaks about illa, except, it's always a few. You'll only find a few of my servants who are going to be rescued. Only a few of my servants are going to be grateful. Only a few of the servants are going to do this. Thus you find that ulama mentioned, if not mistaken, going back to Hassan al-Basri, make us amongst the qaleel. Make us amongst those few individuals. So you find that only a few are going to be successful on that day, are going to be rescued. Then they become the symbols of these individuals. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Four sifat for them. Four elements of ta'qidat and four sifat, four characteristics of successful individuals. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those who believe and carry out righteous actions. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. Those who encourage one another towards the truth, towards righteousness, towards goodness. And who encourage one another towards patience. Because as this hadith mentions, what some of us are searching for is a quick fix. There is no quick fix inside al-Islam. There's no quick solution that quickly do this and this will resolve the Muslim Ummah. And we want to just come back in 15 minutes, in 15 years, and say this will see and solve the issue of this Muslim Ummah. Hastiness. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man will be created in a state of hastiness. Hasty. Wants quick results given. Doesn't see the bigger picture. That's what many of us Muslims are. For مُعْدَمُ الشَّبَابِ. Many young individuals. That's what they are. They just want to see this quick fix, a quick answer. This will just resolve. This will resolve the Muslim Ummah. Bring it back to its glory. This will be the only solution. A vision which is fractured. A vision that only sees from the lenses that they see from their own eyes. They don't see the bigger picture. They only see the ship. A ship travels. Where does a ship travel according to the Quran? Al al-Bahar. Upon the oceans. The ocean is vast. Don't condense your life to be just a small ship. Condense your mentality or expand your mentality to travel the ocean. To understand the world that we live around us. To see the world around us. To see what's taking place with the world around us. Or what is happening to the world around us. Thus you find, vice will spread. and is spreading. And vice and sin will destroy all of us. Study works of fuqaha. They are so profound about their works. And saying that sin has to be clamped down upon. Because even one sin will spread like wildfire. And a wildfire, it destroys lands. Spreads like a bushfire. Goes everywhere. Destroys everyone. Destroys crops, vegetation, plantation, homes, people, tribes, nations. Don't belittle it and think that it's just one small sin. Just let it pass by inside this Muslim Ummah. It spreads like wildfire. And begins to have an impact upon every single one of us. Till eventually you find that in every single home, you find it becomes common. And it would be no exaggeration. It would be no exaggeration if we said that today every single Muslim home, in every single Muslim home, there is possibly a young individual indulged inside alcohol or in drugs or in other forms of muharramah. That would be no exaggeration. That all of us, a member of our family, is engrossed in that. Flick that over to 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was very rare to find a young individual or common practice that a young individual would be doing that. It would be one in a hundred, one in a thousand, you find that would be their lifestyle. 20 years later, what do we find? It's every other young individual. It's every other brother and sister. It's every other family member. Why? Why so? Because possibly amongst the reasons is what? A lack of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. That it doesn't concern me. And thus you find that many of us who have this attitude, it doesn't concern me, just worry about yourself. You find this cliche more and more inside our society. You know, just worry about yourself. And even texts from the Quran. The Quran mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. All you who believe, upon you to save your own self. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. It shouldn't bother you. Shouldn't bother you if it's misguided. There's people who quote this. You know, Akhi, just, you know, don't worry about this. You know, don't worry about world politics. Don't worry about the world. You know, just worry about yourself. Point taken. But, you know, quoting this verse from the Quran, في غير محلها. Quoting this Quran is out of context. And it's out of context of understanding the Quran. Because the tafsir of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, based upon this ayah, he said, إِنَّكُمْ تَقْرَؤُونَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. You know, you read this ayah, and you think that this ayah is speaking about your own self. As for the Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this verse, or he mentioned about this verse, in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, Abi Dawood, he mentioned that this ayah is actually in the nas, إِذَا رَأُوا الظَّالِمِ. If people see an oppressive individual, فَلَمْ يَأْخَذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَوْ شَكَ أَنْ يُعَذِّبَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِإِقَابٍ مِّنْهُ. They see oppression, common practice amongst them, and nobody bothers to say anything. Perhaps all of them will be enshrouded with the punishment of Allah. That's what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said. This is the meaning of this ayah. One simple meaning is save your own self. But the greater meaning of this ayah is that you have to try your ability to try to rescue individuals. If you've ordered the good and you've forbade the evil, then it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you make no effort. You make no effort and just say, yo, I'm just worried about my own self. Then you are blameworthy. And that's inside Surah Al-Ma'idah. Journey continues. Allah blames those individuals. لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُودَ وَعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Allah has cursed, reviled those individuals from Bani Israel upon the tongue of Dawood and upon the tongue of Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Why were they blamed? ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Because they disobeyed. And he used to transgress, go beyond the limitations. What was it they disobeyed regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهُونَ عَمْ مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوا Nabi sama kanu yaf'alu. They never used to prohibit people from the evil. Never used to stop people. So Allah lu'inu. Allah cursed these lu'ina alladhina kafaru. Allah cursed these individuals. That they just la yatanahuna am munkarin fa'aluhu. They never bothered, they never stopped anybody and said, just left everybody alone. So Allah blames them. That these people are cursed and reviled individuals. And likewise inside the same surah, another place inside the Quran, speaking about Bani Israel, speaking about the story about the people of the village, or Ashabu Sabt, the people of the Sabbath, the fishing, whereby Allah mentions, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَا تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّا مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. People ask the question, why are you rebuking these people? Why are you stopping these people from doing this action? When Allah is going to destroy these people. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fishing on the Sabbath. Allah commanded them strictly, stay away from it. So why are you bothering to warn them? Why are you ordering the good and forbidding the evil when punishment has been destined for these individuals? Listen to the response of these individuals. قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So lest on the day of judgment, we have a justified excuse that we carried out our duty. We know Allah is going to destroy them, but we've done our duty of reminding them, of ordering the good and forbidding the evil, and perhaps some of them may repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that even at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, before his revelation, what is known as Hilf al-Fudul, the pact, the agreement that he made, a business format transaction which he agreed to. Because you know, there's two extremities amongst the Muslim world. That if you do transact with non-Muslims, or you work with them, or you live with them, that by default you're showing some extra love and affection towards them. Once again, lack of understanding the Sharia. Sharia doesn't prohibit you from transacting, from living, from buying, from selling. From hatta you might even show goodness and kindness to non-Muslims. It doesn't prohibit that. What the Sharia prohibits is for you to take them as your personal advisors regarding your religious affairs. To warn you, to remind you about al-Islam. Other than that, we should know what our faith is. Then you find the other extreme, that everything just goes with non-Muslims. That everything just goes to be with them, just for the sake of to be with them. We make pacts and agreements systematically. Cooperation that we find. And there's certain things that living inside this environment, as we began with, we need to hold in, we need to begin to focus. And as you find government legislation, or about the hijab, or about Islam, some of us really need to wake up and begin to understand that to cooperate about protecting Islam or protecting Muslims doesn't by default mean that a person is sidelining with non-Muslims. Likewise, institutes of learning. For some of us, we are aloof. Go and study the current curriculum that's being taught, not in secondary education, in primary education to our children. But we should be forthcoming to highlight. This is what the belief is. Mainstream Christians don't agree with homosexuality. That doesn't mean that they cave in about their belief. They don't become depressed. They don't become weakened and say, well, maybe this makes me look weak in such society. Speak to a mainstream Christian, Orthodox Christian. Ask them, what do they say about homosexuality? They openly express it. We don't agree with it. It's forbidden in our text. It's against the teaching of Jesus. And likewise, you find general social welfare. Agreements about the clearing of drugs inside our community. Don't be taken aback again. And a large portion of people traffic drugs inside our community in Newham and Tower Hamlets today. In South London, they're who? Muslims. There's Muslims. It's not just about it's non-Muslims or it's a certain type of people or community. A large impact of people trafficking drugs on our streets, in our borough, is Muslims. And people turn a blind eye to it. Muslims turn a blind eye to it. I think maybe, you know, we shouldn't speak about this on the minbar. We shouldn't address this. I wouldn't be going too far to say that even outside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I visualize with my own eyes people exchanging drugs. Broad daylight, Muslims. Broad daylight exchanging drugs. If I'm just a simpleton, just an average individual, and they can see that this happens to be some symbol of religiousness. And it's strange that the thing that began to affect me was that they had the audacity to say that, who are you? Who are you to stop us? Who are you to tell us that this is haram to do? And you're displayed as a Muslim. You're visible as a Muslim. And I'm visible as a Muslim. Why? Why has it gone so far? Why has it gone so far that people just think that let us do whatever we want to do? There should be no governing body, there should be no one who should voice their concern towards us. And that's what we find. If it's allowed to side with non-Muslims and to make such pacts and agreements, then why is it not allowed to make agreements with Muslims about things that concern them? If it's allowed for Muslims to align with non-Muslims in certain environments or restrictive measures that we find to protect the identity of the Muslims, then it's even more so desirable or encouraged for a person then to align with Muslims for a concern that concerns them. And it doesn't mean that some people begin to try to twist our words and say that we're trying to water down the teaching of Islam, or we're giving a tacit approval towards their belief and their faith and corruption, or we become guilty by association. That if a person liaises with another individual, that they become guilty that this person now holds the same belief or the same conviction. And Muslims should be confident and clear about their belief, should be wise and intelligent. Where a person sees clear deviation, corruption, should be able to address that appropriately. No one is here saying that for the sake of unity, just unite with people. That's not what the words that I'm saying or I'm intending, as some people may try to twist, that for the sake of unity, just bring everybody together. That's not the intent of my words, or to excuse everybody, overlook people's mistakes and the deviation, corruption, overlook it, just for the sake of unity. It's not for the sake of unity, it's for the sake of seeing those things that concern Muslims, and not turning a blind eye. And even as a side point, that many of us, if we study in great detail, that which we may seem to perceive, at times there's clear deviation that Muslims should be intelligent with their words to address that deviation, that corruption highlighted to the person, and select their words. But many times, it's points of ijtihad. It's points of whereby the Sharia is flexible, as we began with speaking about ulama Maliki and Hanafiya, that a person begins to take a certain view. But because our lack of knowledge, a lack of perception and understanding, we don't understand the affair, we just quickly jump to a conclusion that this person is aligning with this, so by default this person must be a corrupt individual, or this person said this person must be a corrupt individual, or this person must be at the aid and assistance of the government around them. Thus we need to begin to understand how we govern and rule with the community around us, how we protect the community around us. And as we find that ordering the good and forbidding the evil, if you study that in context, three separate occasions in exactly the same surah, in between two pages, that we find Allah speaks about ordering the good and forbidding the evil. But before that, Allah mentions generic ayat. For what purpose? وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Don't divide amongst your own selves. In prophetic tradition, they find, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Be all brethren towards one another. And that's why even this hadith of Safina that we find is collected by Imam al-Nawawi inside Riyad al-Salihin. Bab al-Amr bil-Ma'rufi wa Nahi anil Munkar. 14 ahadith he collects. And this is the final hadith. Read this chapter. Read these pages of ordering the good and forbidding the evil, all these ahadith, put them into perception. And read it along with the explanation like Sheikh Muhammad Salih Al-Uthaymeen Rahmatullahi Alayhi, to understand the whole context of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. And thus we find that Islam is there to protect the identity, to protect this Muslim Ummah. Thus we find this Ummah is one Ummah, one nation, one people, that we strive together. That's if I look at the deeper understanding of Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that even you find that even there could be a difference in the sighting of the crescent, what does the Sharia say? Does the Sharia say to split away? كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ Does the Sharia say split away? The Sharia says that even if the sighting is false or inaccurate, then stay with whom? The consensus. That's what the Sharia says. The Sharia says that you're performing tawaf, you want to kiss the black stone, but to do that, you have to nudge another Muslim, you have to harm another Muslim, فَحَرَامُ عَلَيْكَ becomes haram upon you. Don't follow your zeal and your passion saying, I have to kiss the black stone, it's only once in my lifetime. But if you touch another individual, you nudge another individual, then that is even more gravesome. And likewise, you find even the imam who's been placed there to lead you inside prayer, if he's been appointed by the people, appointed by the government, appointed by the nation, فَهُوَ إِمَامُكُمْ He's your imam. Islam doesn't encourage rebelliousness. It doesn't say come and rebel. It doesn't say come and just remove that person. It speaks about in great detail how to work with the people, how to engage with the people. And likewise on a massive scale as well. We're not seeking upheaval. Some people have to twist our words and say this is leading toward people to become upheaval towards the world around them. Al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar is the way every single believer to understand how to adapt and live inside society, remind every single individual. And likewise, in conclusion, that we find that ordering the good and forbidding the evil and overlooking certain things inside our society. Because what's beginning to more become apparent inside our society is people make these statements. It's not me, it's not us, it's them. You know, them they're referring to is other Muslims. And thus we find we need to awaken to the world pressure around us. To understand that the world pressure will only destroy us, destroy our identity. The Prophet overlooked so many things. Overlooked so many things of his nation, of his people, of his followers. Read, that's what Ulama said, read through his seerah to understand. Overlooked so many aspects, what purpose? To preserve the sanctity and the unity of the Muslims. And in conclusion, even the tawaf that we perform, that's not the actual size of the Kaaba. That's not the actual Kaaba that we're supposed to be performing tawaf around. The hijab that we find, that half semicircle that we find, that is the full size. That is the full size, the shape of the Kaaba. The Kaaba is not cuboid. Now even at that time you find, before the Prophet, they gathered their halal wealth. Look at this unity of the Quraysh. They said, bring no money of riba. Bring no wealth which has been contaminated. Bring it to restruct the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pure wealth. So they ran out of wealth. We're not able to complete it. So that wall that we find, that circumambulant wall that we find, that is the actual shape. The wall remains there. And the Prophet said to Aisha radiallahu anha, if it wasn't that your people had newly entered into Islam or they revived their faith, I would have dismantled the Kaaba and rebuilt it in its original structure. But because of their zeal and their passion, they may become so passionate that how dare you now dismantle the Kaaba? This shows us understanding the environment that we live in. To understand the people around us. To live with the people around us. To engage with the people. To bring them out. Engage with people. Order the good, forbid the evil. With good ethics, fair preaching, encouragement. Especially our Muslims, وَذَكِرُوا بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ Remind them about the days of Allah. Make them fear the fire. Remind them about good deeds. Return to Jannah. The pettiness of this dunya. The end result of this dunya. Awaken them, awaken their souls, their mind. As we fight and we bicker amongst our own selves. Look at the state of our shabab. Look at the state of our youth. Every day being lost. Every day becomes a tireless journey of what's happening to the community around us. Morally, the whole concept of this theme is all morality. Look at the moral value of us Muslims. Weakened day in and day out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all a strength and ability to return back to a good moral fiber, to engage that inside our own lives and our family members and our children. The Muslims around, encourage all of ourselves to return back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam.